Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, joined by my co-host, as always, Cole Shelton, and we'll be giving out our 2010s MMA Decade in Review Awards. I'm looking forward to doing this podcast with you, Cole. Obviously, we didn't have an event to cover this week or even last week, so I still want to talk to you, though, man, because there's always a lot to talk to you about, and I'm excited to do the show. Just initial thoughts on the awards that we're going to hand out.
Yeah, we came up with a cool list. I think, again, similar to what our year-end was, we stayed away from picking the same things. So we all have different answers. So just because it gets boring if you need fighter of the decade, it's all the same. And we basically have the same answers. So we went different, so it should be good.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's start with the awards. I'll go with you first, and then I'll give mine out. And again, we picked different winners for every award because, again, like Cole said, it's just boring hearing four or five people agree with Masvidal being fighter of the year or Adesanya. It's just boring. We'd rather have different opinions. Okay, let's start with the best fighter of the decade for the 2010s. Go ahead, Cole.
Yeah, my fighter of the decade is John Jones, just to see what he's done. He's just reigned supreme over the light heavyweight division. Obviously, the drug stuff and suspensions kind of hinders his legacy a bit, but just what he's been able to do. He beat DC twice. I know one was a no contest. Beat Gustafson. He's just beat everyone up there at light heavyweight, and he just dominated everyone. He's kind of the only guy to beat kind of like three generation fighters that can beat Shogun. He beat the Rampages. Now he beat like Cormier, which is part of his generation. Now he's beating the young up-and-coming guys. He's beating like the Santoses. He's fighting against Dominic Reyes. Like, to me, he's just been the most complete and most dominant fighter of the 2010s.
Great pick. I mean, it's hard to go against John Jones. The guy is pretty freaking amazing. And definitely a good pick, Cole. You know, for me, it's a tough one because, honestly, I think Jones, based on his record and stuff, like, you have to go with him. And based on his accomplishments, like, he didn't lose this decade, Cole. He didn't lose one fight. He had the one no contest against DC, but that was a knockout win originally. I think he went 16-0 and one no contest in the decade. That's insane. That's insane. Especially at the beginning of the decade. You know, a lot of people are going to, you know, talk about the later parts of the decade, but at the beginning of the decade, this guy was like the biggest star in the sport, I think, and just an incredible fighter. He still is. So great pick, Cole. For me, I'm going to go with Conor McGregor, though. And, you know, Conor, he did lose a few times for sure, but he still had a winning record. I believe he was 18-3, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's what he had as a record during the decade. Let me double check that quickly. I remember I did the article last week for BJ Penn. So 2003-1. Yeah, 18-3. That was his record. Okay, so yeah. You know what, Cole? I mean, as far as like significance of the sport goes, like, I think it is Conor, man. You know, and people don't like the guy, and I get it. But like, look what he did to the sport, Cole. You know, he changed the sport. He changed the game. And what he did in 7 years, because he wasn't in – well, I am including his Cage Warriors fights because they, you know, they're still fights. But especially what he did in the UFC over the last 7 years, like, insane. And the crazy thing is, like, he missed a lot of time, too, in the latter part of the decade. But I still think that record's amazing. He's got actually more wins in the decade than John Jones. So that's pretty insane. I just think, you know, becoming the first double champion in UFC history, that's incredible to win the featherweight and lightweight belts at the same time. And look at some of his wins, Cole, too. Like, Eddie Alvarez, Nate Diaz, Jose Aldo, Chad Mendes, Dustin Poirier, Max Holloway. That's a good freaking list of wins. So for me, it's going to be Conor. And Jones is a great pick. There's also a lot of other fighters you could pick here. Like, Khabib is up there. DC's up there, Cole. You could go Ronda Rousey or Amanda Nunes if you wanted to make that argument as well. So there's a lot of really good fighters that are in the conversation. But for me, it's Conor just because of what he did for the sport. And for Cole, obviously, it's Jones because he was the most dominant fighter as far as in-cage stuff goes. All right, Cole, next up, we're going to do fight of the decade. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, mine's a fight I watch all the time, and just there's like that legendary picture by Esther Lynn of them staring down. It's the Roy McDonald, Robbie Lawler 2 for the belt. That fight was just, that's one of the best fights. That's probably the best fight I've ever seen. Just them going back and forth. That was such a close fight. The stare down in between rounds and then both them bleeding, like McDonald's nose was cut open. Lawler's lip was cut open. It was just such an entertaining fight. There's no dull moments in the fight. And the ending too, like the TKO, like it's just McDonald brave. Fought through a lot, and then we've seen like the after effects of it. Like, McDonald's nose has never been the same after that fight. A lot of people think like Lawler took a lot out of him. McDonald's never been the same fighter. Just that fight to me is the best fight of the past decade.
That's an amazing fight. I was like one of the few people that was on Lawler in both fights that they had. I just really believed him in that matchup. And it was insane. Like, the first fight was okay. It was pretty good. The second fight was a classic, though, with the five-round fight. Just an amazing fight. And like you mentioned, it's that image of Rory's, like, with his face just busted open, that nose is broken wide open. That's an image to remember for sure. An amazing fight call. I'm going to talk about that card in a little bit here. But for me, you know, I honestly couldn't pick because I think there's a tie here for me. I'm going to pick one non-title fight, one title fight. So non-title fight, Shogun versus Hendo won. Both fights were amazing. The second fight's incredible too. But that first fight, Cole, like when I was watching that fight, I remember saying, wow, this is literally the greatest MMA fight of all time. Like, it was amazing. And I was actually working at the Score at the time. And I remember going to work the next day and Moro was there and he was like raving about the fight, and I was too, and everyone was. So I think everyone loved that fight. The you know, you talk about like iconic images, Cole. And that's what I love about some of these fights, the iconic images. That image of Hendo and Shogun like hugging outside the arena afterwards when they're the bloody t-shirts, bloody faces, bashed and bruised. It's an iconic image. It was an amazing fight. It really was. UFC 139 was an incredible card. One of the best cards of the decade. We'll talk about that in a sec. That card was insane, Cole. Like, go back and look at that card, man. There was two fight of the nights because Shogun and Hendo was amazing, but so was Wanderlei Silva and Kung Lee. That was a sick fight too. You also had Faber beat Brian Bowles, who was a big star at the time. And then you had Ryan Bader, anyway, knock out Michael McDonald. Also, Chris Weidman was on the undercard. He won. So it was a crazy card, Cole. But honestly, Hendo Shogun, like, it was such a close fight. It could have been a draw. It could have been a Shogun win. You know, Hendo won the fight. Obviously, we saw the second fight. He knocked him out. But that fight, Cole, like, for me, that's the stuff of legends. But, you know, for a title fight, it's got to be Gustafsson and Jones. And this was a really tough one for me because I have, like, these fights mean so much to me. Like, the Shogun and Hendo fight was, like, when I started writing my main 2011. That fight happened in 2011, like, maybe a few months after I kind of started my, like, career as a writer. And that means a lot to me because I was like, wow, I really did pick the right sport to cover. But the Jones-Gustafsson fight, I was there live. I remember just being absolute awe. Like, it was an insanely good fight. And none of us thought Gus had a chance in that fight, Cole. Like, everyone was picking Jones. You were like 3 years old. But the rest of us, man, I remember watching. I was sitting beside my friend Sean Smith. I don't think he covers MMA anymore, but he's still on Twitter. And Aaron Bronstetter was right behind me. And excuse me. I just remember being like an absolute awe of the fight. And actually, the fight was so good, Cole. And you can ask Aaron this. He tells the story to everyone. I started crying because the fight was so freaking good. Aaron's like, are you crying? I'm like, yeah, this fight's so good. And I remember going sitting backstage. It was me, Ben Folks, and Chuck Mendenhall in the same row. And we're just like, wow, that fight was so freaking amazing. Like, everyone was just raving about the fight, Cole. Like, that's a good memory for me. It was actually one of the last – I think it was, like, one of the last UFC cards I covered in person. Unfortunately, they don't come to Toronto that often. And also, like, I wasn't really working for sites with credentials up until Sherdog last year. But it is what it is. But, yeah, it was that fight meant a lot to me. And it was an amazing fight, Cole. Gustafsson did so well. I remember that takedown the first round he had. And then that spinning back elbow, I think it was in the third or fourth round by Jones. It really changed the tide of the fight. So, you know, for me, Cole, that's going to be the best title fight. And I honestly just can't pick between the two fights. That's why I had to mention them both. They're just two such, like, epic, legendary fights. Love them both.
Well, even that fight, like, I remember going into it, like, everyone thought, oh, this is a walkover. Dana White had to tell the crowd, like, they were telling people in Toronto, like, no, this is going to be a good fight. Like, this isn't a walkover. Like, Gustafsson's good. And I remember Jones after, he's like, I didn't take this serious. Like, I was partying all before the fight because he didn't think Gustafsson was good. That turned out to be, like, probably Jones's best fight and most competitive fight of his career.
Yeah, it really was the best fight of his career. And I think Gustafsson had a lot to help with that. The rematch, I think a lot of us thought the rematch was going to be a close fight, Cole, but it turned out to be a drubbing for Jones. But, yeah. And any thoughts on Shogun Hendo, Cole?
Yeah, I've seen that a couple times on Fight Pass. Like, that was a good fight too. But for me, more like I liked Jones Gustafsson better out of year two. Oh, but man, those two fights,
you watched it. You were like 1 year old.
Year two fights, like, those are, there were so many good fights to choose from to narrow this like down to one.
It's tough. I mean, like, there were some really good fights this decade, and you know, we had to pick a couple here. Okay, so let's go to knockout of the decade. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my knockout of the decade might not be the most flashiest, but to you is the most significant. What it did for the sport is McGregor's knockout over Aldo. Do it in 13 seconds. Aldo was supposed to be, like, he was greatest of all time. Like, he's never been, like, he was dominant featherweight. McGregor talked a lot. Everyone thought, oh, this is when he's going to get exposed. Like, there's even that thing they're playing before. Now the McGregor Cerrone fight is Cerrone saying, like, you're going to get your ass beat by Aldo. And to go in there and not just beat Aldo, like, beating Aldo was impressive, but to knock him out on the first punch he threw, that was just like, and then obviously the cage celebration that set up, like, that just set up his whole career, set up him becoming a championship, setting up the Diaz fight. That made him, I think, that was the fight that really pushed forward to being a huge superstar in the sport.
Yeah, that was incredible. Remember that one really vividly. And, you know, I get a lot of my predictions wrong, but I got to give myself credit when I do get them right. And on the lead up to that fight, me and James did a podcast. I believe it was me and James. And I said, Conor McGregor is going to walk across the octagon and knock Jose Aldo out. And he did exactly that. And I was pretty shocked that I got that one right. But yeah, 13 seconds into the fight, Cole, and it changed both of those guys' careers. Aldo for the worse, Conor for the better, obviously. Just an amazing performance by Conor. I mean, it really was. So a great pick there, Cole. You know, for me, this is another hard category. Like, I had a hard time picking one and really just choosing one here. So I'm going to name a few. And to me, it was the decade of the head kick, Cole. Like, there were so many good head kicks. So, you know, this is a tough one. I'm going to lean a little bit toward, for the number one pick, I'm going to have to lean a little bit towards Anderson Silva versus Vitor Belfort at UFC 126. That was so freaking
that
sick.
That front kick was sweet.
Yeah, it was the greatest kick. Yeah, I think it was the greatest kick in MMA history. Like, so it's an iconic game. Again, Cole, I think Esther Lee took the picture of, you know, the sideways angle of Anderson throwing that kick up and Vitor's jaw just bending
back.
Wasn't
that the first – that was the first outkick knockout in UFC, wasn't it?
It's not an outkick, Cole. It's a front kick.
Oh, yeah, front kick, sorry.
Yeah, I think so. There was a couple other ones, which I'll name in a second here. But, yeah, you know, as far as upkicks, there's only been a few, Cole, like Nico Price, and then John Fitch had one a long time ago against Alves, I believe. But, yeah, the front kick, yeah, I think that could have been, especially the most prominent one. I think you might be right. But, yeah, that was an insane knockout. And, like I said, you know, it's kind of tough to pick just one. So some other ones that I have to mention here. I was here for this fight, UFC 129, Lyoto Machida against Randy Couture. That was insane, too. Same kick. That was a flying crane kick. It's not the same, but it's a front kick, essentially. Randy's teeth went flying into the crowd. That was insane. Ended Randy's career. That was an insane knockout, too. It's crazy how much happened this decade, Cole. And, you know, you got to mention Edson Barboza against Terry Adam. That was insane, too, the spinning wheel kick. I mean, that just was absolutely vicious. And again, you know, Terry Adam's not the same guy he once was. He's had a lot of issues since then. And for Barboza, it really catapulted him. I actually was at Edson Rose's UFC debut, Cole. That was in Detroit. I drove down with my friends. That was the first UFC card. That was in 2010 as well. So much happened this decade, man. Like, at the beginning of this decade, Cole, I was a fan who wanted to cover the sport. And I was just finishing school. And then, you know, a decade later, you know, I cover it full time. So it's been a crazy decade for me personally. But, you know, these fights are, and the fighters are what make it special, Cole. So, you know, there's some other ones you can mention on this list. Like, honestly, I know people hate him, but Vitor Belfort, when he knocked out Luke Rockhold, that spinning wheel kick, that was insane too. That's a good one. Or even JDS against Mark Hunt, that's another crazy one. There's a lot of good ones. Any more you want to think of, Cole, that we didn't mention?
Well, even this year, like Mazel Ask and that knee, just that quick, sure. That's up there. Right. Like, even this year, I had so many good knockouts. Like,
I know.
Shevchenko, that head kick. Like, if you're talking kicks, that was a good one. Kevin Lee's head kick knockout over Gillespie, that was another good knockout. Like, there was a lot of really good knockouts. A lot of, like, but yeah, that Silva Belfort one, that one was still crazy, to, just to watch and see that picture. Just, like, see what his face looked like when the kick landed. It was crazy.
No, I agree 100%. I'm just looking at Tapology's list here, which I didn't do before, but I'm just looking at it now. I think we named a lot of them. Oh, yeah, of course, we mentioned this. Ronda Rousey against Holly Holm. I mean, you have to mention that. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And this was a crazy one, too. More of like a crazy comeback, but it's on this list here. Chiat Kongo versus Pat Barry. I don't know if you remember that fight, Cole, but that's – have you seen that fight, Cole?
I think so. I think, like
– Cole, if you have not seen that fight, go back and watch that fight as soon as we're on the show. Pat Barry versus Chiat Kongo is one of the craziest fights you'll ever see. Go back and watch that fight, okay? Anyways, let's move on to the next one. Submission of the year. Submission of the decade, excuse me. Go ahead.
I'm going Demetrius Johnson, that, like, what are they, Mighty Wizbar, I think they named it, over Ray Borg. Just to see him do that, like – that, like, Demetrius Johnson obviously dominated all his opponents, but to throw Ray Borg up in the air and catch his arm to set up the armbar, that's one of like the coolest things. I didn't think of that was a move that could ever be done, to throw someone up and catch their arm while midair and then get him into an armbar. That armbar right away was immediately tight and Borg tapped. Like, just that submission, just the set of the submission, like, I don't think we will ever see it again. If we do, it will be at flyweight. Like, I don't think any other weight class to be able to throw someone up in the air like that and catch him. But yeah, just that setup and how it finished, like, to me, that's the submission of the decade.
Yeah, great submission, Cole. You know, I think there's a lot of good submissions as well, but for me, it for sure, it's got to be Korean Zombie against Leonard Garcia. And I remember watching this fight with my friends. Like, I always have a story for this fight. I always remember where I watched almost every fight. And this fight, we were watching my friend's basement on his computer. This was like, again, this is 2011. So actually March 2011, I was still in school at the time. And I remember going to my friend's house. I was watching this fight, and we've never seen that submission before. He did it right with 1 second left in the second round. And again, you know, now it's happened second time with Bryce Mitchell this year, which is crazy. But, you know, at the time, Cole, like, it was so crazy. Like, it really was an insane move. And, you know, it's pretty much when I was already a fan of Korean Zombie because it was fights in WEC. It's that first fight of Leonard Garcia is insane too in 2010 at WEC 48, which actually was this decade as well, which is crazy to think that WEC actually existed at the beginning of this decade. When you think about it, it's on the Strikeforce. And we should talk about Strikeforce later because, you know, the purchase of Strikeforce really changed the history of MMA as well. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, Cole, when we get to like significant storylines and also news. But yeah, as far as submissions go, for me, it's got to be Jung against Doug Garcia. Just an insane submission. All right, next up, event of the decade. Go ahead. UFC event of the decade. We're going to do outside UFC after. Go ahead.
Yeah, there were a lot of good UFC events. Like, just name a couple, like UFC 200. Just look at that one. UFC 205, the first one, Madison Square Garden. You had Thompson, Woodley. That fight was amazing. Then you had McGregor. But mine is UFC 217. If you look at that card, like, you had all three champions, their belt changed hands. You had the knockout by Nami Yusuf over Andrade. You had the knockout of Dillashaw over Garbrandt. Then you had St. Pierre beating Bisping. But then even lower on the card, like, you had the second fight of the night was Curtis Blaydes versus Alexei Oleinik. Like, you had a lot of good names. You had Paulo Costa defeating Johnny Hendricks to open up the main card. You had Thompson beating Mazal in a good fight. You had Ovince St. Preux, like, the head kick over Corey Anderson. That card just had so many names. That was the second year they did MSG. They really tried to stack it, and it proved. And just, like, all three champions changing hands. I don't know if we'll ever see that again. Like, that was one of the most shocked things this past decade too.
Yeah, amazing, amazing card. I remember that one as well. I was at my friend Dustin Parks' house, and I think James was there actually watching that card with you, if I'm not mistaken. And we didn't expect the three titles to change hands. Like, ever since, like, the prelims of that card, you knew it was going to be special. Like, the Ricardo Ramos spinning back elbow up to the OSP, and Corey Anderson knockout, and then obviously the main card, three title fights. I only predicted one of those three. I did predict Dillashaw against Garbrandt, but I didn't expect GSP to win after a four-year layoff, and I certainly didn't expect Rose to knock out Ioana. So, crazy card, Cole. Great pick. You know, for me, again, this is not easy to pick because there's been so many good cards, but I honed down to two cards. I'm going to lean slightly towards UFC 189, very slightly, because UFC 129, which I'll talk about in a sec, is also an amazing card. But UFC 189, you know, for me, it's going to be the number one pick, Cole, because the main card is the greatest main card, I think, ever. Look at this main card, Cole. First fight of the night, Thomas Almeida defeats Brad Pickett via flying knee. Then you had Gunnar Nelson defeats Brandon Thatch via submission. Jeremy Stevens defeats Dennis Bermudez via third round TKO, which was an incredible fight. Robbie Lawler defeats Rory McDonald via knockout in the fifth round, which was incredible. And then Conor McGregor against Chad Mendes knocks him out in the second round. Amazing, amazing main card. And even the prelims, though, you had, you know, Matt Brown defeats Tim Means, and you had a couple other fights. The prelims weren't as good, obviously. But the main card, Cole, has got to be up there. But, you know, like I said, there's another pick here in UFC 129 and another card that means so much to me. And once again, Cole, you were in your diapers when this card happened. But, you know, for me, Cole, this was an insane card. I remember I watched this one with my dad. Me and my dad went down to Rogers Center. It was called, I think it was Rogers Center. It might have been Skydome at the time. But actually, it might have been Skydome, Cole. I can't remember. But, yeah, an incredible card, an amazing card, UFC 129. The first fight just, you know, set the tone for the rest of the night. Pablo Garza defeated Yves Zabran with a flying triangle choke, which you don't see very often. Insane. And then you had John McDessie knuckle Kyle Watson with a spinning back fist. He was down for like 10 minutes after the fight. People were very concerned. I was very concerned. Jason Dahl defeated Ryan Jensen via triangle. Ivan Menjivar defeats Charlie Valencia via an elbow and punches. That was insane. The Claude Patrick Daniel Roberts fight wasn't very good. Then you had Jake Ellenberger knuckle Sean Pearson. Rory McDonald slammed Nate Diaz around the canvas. And then the main card, Benson Henderson, Bochak, that wasn't a very good fight. But you had Badashenko defeat Brills by knockout in 20 seconds. Machida, Couture. And then you had Jose Oliver's Mark Hominick. You talk about best fights of the decade. That's up there too, Cole. That was an insane fight, an insane comeback. Mark Hominick, that he had like an alien growing on his head. People were like, man, this guy's going to come back and beat Aldo in the fifth round. And he almost did. And the fight was close. Look at the scorecards of that fight, Cole. 48-45, 48-46, 49-46. That's about as close it got in Aldo's early career when he was dominating everyone. Of course, the main event sucked. The GSP Jake Shields fight was not very good. It was a very boring fight, but the rest of the card was absolutely amazing. And again, you know, that was special for me, Cole, because I got to see with my dad, and that was you know, a special time. I also got to watch UFC 140 with my dad. We went live to that one as well. And you know, again, this was like right when I was starting my career, before I was able to even go to events as a media member. But UFC 140 was an amazing card too in Toronto, Cole. That was at
Jones choked out Cheetah.
Yes, sir. Jones choked out Machida with a guillotine. Frank Mir broke Nogueira's shoulder with a Kimura, which was insane. Then you had Little Nog knock out Tito Ortiz. You had Chance on Jung knock out Mark Hominick in 7 seconds. Krajic knocked out Sojinski. Philippou knocked out Hammond. Dennis Hallman submitted McDessie. And you had some other ones in the prelims still. But very, very good card. And I love that card as well. Cool. So, you know, those cards mean a lot to me. And, you know, I always say that it's not just the cards themselves, but like who you watch them with and where you watch them. Yeah. That stuff matters a lot to you. And that stuff I always remember. So for me, those are some great memories, Cole. And memories are lost a lifetime, man. All right. Next up, we're going to go to, I think I sent it to you. What is it? Upset of the decade. Go ahead.
Yeah, upset. There is a lot. I'm honestly going to go one that happened last year that I did. It might not be a huge upset, but to me at the time, I thought there was no way it's going to happen. It was Nunes knocking out Cyborg. I thought that fight, I just thought Cyborg was too good. I thought Cyborg just, it was so dominant. Like, she's been so dominant. I didn't think Nunes was going to go out there. And then the way it happened too, like that fight for the, not even the minute last year, like it was crazy. I know odds wise, it wasn't a big upset, but just watching that, like watching it with friends, I'm just like, oh, I think Cyborg's going to win. Like, I talked to Cyborg before that fight. Like, I'm just like, I don't think Nunes is going to win this fight. And then just to see how it played out and what happened, like that was one of the biggest upsets to me this past decade.
Yeah. You know, as far as the odds go, they weren't that high, Cole, but like, I agree with you, man, because the way the fight played out, I didn't expect that to happen. They were going at it toe to toe. And again, I remember watching that fight with James Lynch and Steve Jeffrey, two of my friends, and we were at Steve's house in Oakville, and that was a crazy, crazy knockout. And wow, I mean, honestly, Cole, as far as like 1 minute fight, that's the greatest 1 minute fight in MMA history. Like, that was the most action I've ever seen packed in a 1 minute fight. For me, it's got to be Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm for the significance of, you know, I honestly was not completely shocked that she lost. I was actually one of the people that thought that she had a good chance to win Holly Holm. You know, I remember people were calling me an idiot saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. I was like, I think Holly Holm could win, because I remember seeing her come up on Access TV, and I was like, man, this girl can kick. And she can punch, and she's a, you know, professional boxer, a kickboxer. She can win this fight. And no one believed me. And I was like, all right, I'll go with the consensus here. And I ended up picking Ronda, and Holly ended up winning my knockout. Now, the crazy thing about this fight is, Cole, I was actually at work. I used to work at the Toronto Star, and I worked really late hours. So I'd have to tape the pay-per-views and then go home and watch them. Now, I remember walking back home, and my mom and sister, actually, I remember looking in the front door. We had drapes covering our front like window, and I looked in, and I couldn't see much, but I remember looking in. I was like, is that Holly Holm being interviewed? And I had no idea, so I walked in. I said, don't tell me what happened, I'm gonna watch the card. And then she kicked her out, and I was like, I did see that happen. That's crazy. So for me, that's again another memory. I just remember walking down the street and looking in the window and seeing her being interviewed. So, you know, that was an insane knockout, Cole, and an amazing finish. Next up, let's go to rivalry of the decade. Go ahead, Cole.
My rivalry of the decade is John Jones and Daniel Cormier. That lasted quite a few years. It's still ongoing. Like, that lead up, like, and just, I know it was two fights and two wins for John Jones, but their rivalry is still there just because of everything that happened. Like, you had Cormier after the first fight, and then Jones got suspended. You had Cormier become the light heavyweight champ, and then, but people didn't think Cormier was like a real champ. They thought, oh, Jones is still a champ. And every interview, he's like, John Jones, I'm waiting for you. John Jones, get your shit together. Like, John Jones, we got a fight. We got a belt to fight for. Then when he came back, UFC 214, that was a really hyped up fight. And then the knockout kind of, and then ended the rivalry. But then you had Cormier crying. That got like meme and everything. But they're still ongoing, because then he failed a drug test. And now they might do it at heavyweight. Just like, everything that's happened, they both brought the bad side out of each other. Like, even John Jones, after his first fight, the way he interviewed, he even told Rogan, he's like, I'm sorry I'm being classless, but like, I just don't like the guy. And Cormier, like, even if you watch the E3 or whatever they're called on ESPN, the documentary they did on Cormier, like, even his wife is like, we don't want to fight John Jones because it brings out such the bad out of him. But just the two fights are entertaining, and just the lead to the fights are entertaining. So that's my rivalry of the decade.
Yeah, and a great pick, Cole. And I remember, you know, I was in Greece at the time on vacation. I remember seeing the press conference where John Jones shoved Daniel Cormier and Dave Schaller got in the middle of it. That was a very famous incident. I remember, like I said, I was on vacation. I remember watching that. It was crazy. So great pick, Cole. For me, you know, again, I'm going back. I go back to the early part of the decade for a lot of these, but this is like when I really, you know, became, you know, the sport became like really important to me. So for me, it's going to be Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva, Cole. Like, I think newer fans don't realize how heated this rivalry was, you know, at the time. The first fight between Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva, UFC 117, Cole, that was crazy. And I remember where I was. I was at the bar at the Madison, downtown Toronto. I was at school at the time, and it's a big famous bar, still is. And I watched with my friends, and we were all like watching it, and we're like, wow, Chael Sonnen is going to beat Anderson Silva. And then fifth round, he pulls up the triangle choke out of nowhere. So an insane comeback. You talk about comebacks of the decade, Cole. That's right there too, man. You know, that was insane. That probably is the comeback of the decade, actually, when you think about it. But the rematch, you know, the lead up to that rematch, I remember Anderson said, I'm going to break Chael's teeth, and Chael said, I'm going to cook your wife a steak dinner. Like, it was crazy. It was insane. And then Anderson obviously smashed Chael in the rematch. But, man, Cole, that rivalry was amazing. You know, and those guys really, you know, made MMA really fun to watch in the early part of the decade.
Right. Even you still see that like thing where you still see Chael Sonnen when Anderson's in the crowd. Like, you still see clips on Twitter. It's like, Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck. Like, you still see those clips.
That, you know, talk about greatest quotes, Cole, of the decade. We didn't even do that category. That's got to be the greatest quote of the decade, I think.
Yeah.
Who is that guy? That might be up there too, but that one's good. That one's good, man. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. All right. Next up, let's do biggest story of the decade. Go ahead, my man.
The biggest story for me is, let's say, it's just the Reebok deal and how bad that's turned out. Like, I liked the uniqueness when they walked out and what happened. And then, like, you obviously had GSP walk out with his famous stuff. You had, like, it added character, like, it added the fighters. And then the Reebok deal is supposed to be, like, oh, they're getting uniforms. It's making MMA, like, more, like, well-known around the, because they have uniforms and whatnot, like every other sport. But just to see how that's bad turned out. Like, you see the Reebok payouts. Some fighters making like $4,000 off Reebok. Like, you could get so many sponsors on your shorts. Like, John Jones had Gatorade. Like, Gatorade is paying him. He had Gatorade and Nike when he fought Gustafson. Those are paying way more than $4,000. And the fighters already don't get paid enough. And I'm all like, fighters getting paid more and then take more money out of their pocket with this Reebok deal. And just, I don't know. Like, it might not be the biggest to me, though. It's just like, I don't like what it's become. And it really turned out to be for the worst for the fighters.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that one. That's a really good pick. And again, we want to pick different things here. So for me, you know, I told you, Cole, it's going to be, for me, this is a tough one, because now that I think about it, I think there's going to be two. I'm going to name two, but I'll go with the drug testing and changes in drug testing. Especially in the early part of the decade, TRT, and no one talks about this anymore, but it was a huge topic in the sport. All these guys were using it. Chael Sonnen, Dan Henderson, all these guys, Frank Mir, like, A lot of guys were using it. A lot of guys were abusing it, saying, you know, going to their doctor and saying that they needed this, and the doctor laying them. And all this media members were wondering, like, how the hell do these guys that are like the greatest athletes in the world need testosterone replacement? Like, it didn't make sense. Of course, it ended up being banned. The UFC saw that there was a big loophole going on. Guys were abusing it, so they banned it. And then they brought in USADA really soon after. And USADA, I think, really changed the sport, because honestly, Cole, and it's still a dirty sport. MMA is a dirty sport. A lot of sports are dirty. MMA is a dirty sport. It was really dirty at the beginning of the decade, and especially the 2000s. The 2000s and the 1990s, a lot of guys were juiced up. Go back, watch old Pride events. Go watch old UFC events. Everyone's juicing. Guys are still juicing. You still see guys get caught. But before you saw it, it was even worse. So for me, that's got to be up there. And the other one, and I mentioned this earlier, the acquisition of Strikeforce. You know, that's an underrated thing that happened this decade, because I think it changed the way the MMA landscape was, and also it changed the UFC history. Cole, if you look at who they brought in for Strikeforce, almost like all of them, like a lot of guys became champions. You know, you look at the list, let's go through it. Daniel Cormier, you know, he was the heavyweight Grand Prix champion in Strikeforce. He won the UFC heavyweight and light heavyweight titles. Luke Rockhold, middleweight champion. Amanda Nunes, she won the women's featherweight and bantamweight titles. Chris Cyborg, featherweight champion. Let's keep going. Ronda Rousey was a champion.
Woodley Lawler.
Who else, Cole?
You had Woodley, Lawler. Like,
Woodley. Waller.
Most Nick champions Jack. Cambridge. I think Strikeforce.
Alistair Overeem, Fabrizio Verdum. Cole, it was insane.
Most, I think Strikeforce was the closest thing to taking over the UFC. Like, I would love to see if they were still alive. If they were still alive, like, it would be so interesting to see what would happen if Strikeforce would be there. Strikeforce had, like, if you had Rousey, you had, like, I don't know. And then you would have never had Jones DC rivalry. Like, you wouldn't have all these so good fights. And then, like, that was, and they didn't even get it for that much because Strikeforce thought they were, like, on the outs. But, man, like, just seeing who they got, like, that tells a huge win for the UFC.
Yeah, it's Strikeforce is an amazing promotion. It really was. I loved watching their events. They put them on Showtime. Great events. And I loved how they have Strikeforce challengers. You know, that was something that they, I wish the UFC kept around. Now they have Dana White's Contender Series, which I guess is like that. But, man, the Strikeforce challengers was pretty cool too. A lot of guys ended up becoming champs. But, yeah, Cole, you look at the list of fighters in that promotion. So many talented fighters. An amazing promotion. I'm going to get some questions, Cole, and then we'll go back to the topics here and the awards. Let's go to the questions here from Kenshiro Ryo Dojun. I always appreciate questions, man. Real anger and hate for each other makes great fights. We're not in tennis sport. Our male and female players don't wear pretty skirts. It's a fight, and the more personal, better. I'm with you on that, my friend. Continue on here. Reebok deals all kinds of horrible. What's even more amazing is UFC came out with that fiasco doing well and didn't hurt their profit, making one bit 5 years later. Yep. Reebok made fans and fighters hate their brand. They would be better off just signing and sponsoring top fighters like normal sponsors instead. Remember, John Jones beat all the just juicers while being on the juice, so it makes him the goat and nulls and voids his juice. Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, you know, good points about the Reebok deal, though, Coley. I hate it personally. I you know, changed the sport, I think, for the worse. Just made it so cookie cutter. I loved when fighters were able to wear whatever they wanted, Cole. Like, it just brought more personality. Like, again, I talked about this yesterday, Cole. You know, you think about a guy like Chuck Liddell, the Iceman shorts. Imagine he was wearing Reebok shorts. Like, it's not the same, you know? So, to me, it's something that actually has not been very good for the sport. But, you know, the UFC is, you know, they're kind of, they're off to themselves.
What's the most surprising news?
Most surprising news? Yeah, for me, you know, I'm going to go with Ben Askren being traded for Demetrius Johnson or vice versa, I guess. I was shocked, Cole. First trade in MMA history, never seen that. But I was just surprised the UFC. I know they didn't like Demetrius Johnson. Honestly, like, the guy's a great fighter, but he's not, like, his personality is not exciting. Let's be honest here, Cole. Great fighter, though. He does have exciting fights, but the personality just never matched with what the UFC likes promoting. But I was still surprised they traded him, especially for Ben Askren, Dana White hated for all those years. So that's going to be my pick. What's yours?
Yeah, it's not totally MMA, but, like, it has some MMA related. Is McGregor Mayweather. I never thought we'd see star go over to boxing, fight the biggest box star. Like, and to see Dana White cross promote, like, he's been so reluctant to do it. He doesn't want to do it. To send his biggest star to boxing, just that hype around that fight. Like, I had so many of my friends over, to watch that fight. And it's still, like, it was the day before I left for, like, all of us left for college and stuff again. So, like, just all of us getting together before we left, like, just added to the excitement of the fight. And then, like, I don't think we'll ever see that again. Like, everyone talks about fighting boxers, but I don't know if we'll ever see that again. Like, that one might be, like, a one-time thing. Just have the biggest star in boxing history fight, or the biggest star in boxing that time against probably the biggest star in MMA history fight. Like, I don't know if we'll ever see that again. That was surprising me that it even got done.
Mm-hmm. Good pick there, Cole. Next up, we have – shoot, I keep missing this list for some reason. Okay, next up, we have top fighter outside the UFC of the decade. Go ahead.
It might be – I think his first half of the decade was really good. And then I have Michael Chandler. I just think what he did in Bellator. Obviously, the loss to Pitbull this year kind of hurt him. But just to see what he did, he beat Eddie Alvarez. He was a three-time Bellator champ, defended the belt a bunch. Like, he had some really entertaining fights, beat the who's who of the Bellator's lightweight division. He's a guy everyone wanted to see in the UFC, like, especially after he beat Alvarez and just seeing Alvarez become UFC champ. I think it really solidified how good Michael Chandler is and how good he would have been in the UFC. And I think he's one of Bellator's best fighters on their roster still. And just to see how long he's been doing it for, like, he's been fighting before the 2010. So to keep on being that high level is still really impressive to me.
Michael Chandler's a great pick. And, you know, Cole, he's another Strikeforce alum. He was actually fought in Strikeforce twice. And Scott Coker has him again now. But he's a guy that he didn't make it over the UFC because he left way before the acquisition, but he's still as a former Strikeforce guy as well. But for me, it's going to be the guy who beat him last year, Patricio Pitbull, Cole. I mean, he edges him out Michael Chandler very slightly just because they fought head-to-head and he knocked him out. So I know Michael Chandler's maybe not the same guy he once was. It's, you know, he did look good in his last fight, but you know, for Pitbull to go in there and knock him out, I think that edged him really slightly, in my opinion, over him. Double champion, 18-4 in the decade, amazing record. Michael Chandler in the decade had a 18-5 record, so really close call. 18-5 versus 18-4. I'm just slightly in towards Pitbull, but they're both great picks. All right, best event not in the UFC of the decade. Go ahead.
I have a belt for 158. You have obviously Kimbo Slice fighting in that, and then there's just getting the full card up here. But there were so many good fights on that card. There's a lot of big names in Bellator. They really stacked that card, and to see Kimbo Slice still fight in MMA was just cool. And
where? Well, 158. I don't think
158. Sorry, what was?
What is it? You got the wrong one here, man. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, just a second.
Sorry, no worries. Let's see here. I'm going to chuck. Kimbo Slice, Bellator 138?
Yeah, that was it. Sorry. 138. Typed it in wrong. So then you had Patricio Freire defending his belt against Daniel Whiteside. Bobby Lashley, who's a big star. You had Michael Chandler open the card, submitting. Like, the entire main card was all finishes. You had Kimbo Slice knock out Ken Shamrock. You had Patricio Pitbull knock out Dan Vaischel. You had Bobby Lashley TKO Jan Charles. You had Daniel Strauss submit Henry Corrales. You had Michael Chandler submit Derek Campos. All those names, like especially the opening guys, they're huge stars in Bellator now. Then even on the prelims, you had a lot of, like, you had a dart stroke, you had a bunch of finishes too. And just the names around it and what, how that event played out was just my event, non-UFC of the decade.
Yeah, I know you mentioned Bellator 58 when we were talking as well.
Yeah.
That's why you were confused. And Bellator 58, that was Chandler versus Alvarez.
Yeah, that's where I got mixed views. I put the one.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, that was a crazy fight. And also Hector Lombard was on the card. You talk about, we didn't do this, but biggest bust in UFC history, Hector Lombard might be the
number one. He'd be right up there.
He did not perform the way we thought. I think, talk about USADA, Cole. USADA did not help Hector Lombard. For me, it's going to be WSOF 2, and this was an amazing event. I remember watching this one and just being absolutely in awe. It was like one of the, it was their second card, and it was an amazing card. Like, you start with, let's go from the main card and go right down, but main event, you had Anthony Johnson defeat Andrei Arlovski. That was a heavyweight fight. He moved up to heavyweight. And this was a few fights after AJ had been cut from the UFC for missing weight by, like, I think he missed by 10 pounds against Vitor. They cut him. He goes to WSOF and he knocks, or he didn't knock him out, but he hurt Arlovski, broke his jaw on decision. But also on the card, you had Marlon Moraes Cole defeat Tyson Nam by knockout. That was an incredible knockout. David Branch defeats Paulo Filho. Josh Berkley defeats Aaron Simpson. And Justin Gaethje against Jay-Z Cavalcante. If I'm not mistaken, that was just, yeah, it was Justin's debut in WSOF. And I think that's where people started to realize Justin Gaethje is pretty good. You know, that's when I became a fan of him, because I hadn't seen him fight before. I heard about him. I'd never seen him fight. But even the prelims, though, you had some crazy fights. Rick Glenn knocking out Alexander Pimentel. Waylon Logan's Cameron Dollar knocks him out. Richard Patishnok against Igor Gracie. Ozzy Dagulabov against Chris Whalen. Brenton Hanson against Tony Marcellano. That was a crazy flying knee. And Bill Alger against Frank Bonafuente. It was a crazy card, really good card. WSOF's another promotion doesn't exist now. It's called PFL, but you know, they put out some good fights, Cole. And they, again, if you look at this card, Cole, look at the people that became champions: Marlon Moraes, David Branch, Justin Gaethje. It was a good card. All right, Kensuke Rio Doju's got a couple other comments here. I knew Ben Askren was a can since day one. He walks up in his opponent's with a chicken stance. They put money against him every fight. Thanks, Askren, for the free money. I guess it worked out in the UFC, but yeah, he didn't look too good there. He looked good in Bellator, though, and won. Kensuke Dojo, I vote for Douglas Lima's KO of MVP, low kick down to the hook to the jaw. Had me seen Street Fight 2 arcade mode being Rory 2 and everyone else. Yeah, great pick. Douglas Lima's right there. For me, it was like either Pitbull or Lima. Like, I think those are the two guys, but or Chandler, too. You know, you really can't go wrong with any of those three guys. All right, now let's go to a funny one, Cole. Worst fight of the decade. Go ahead.
I remember being so excited for this fight when it got matched. I'm like, and I had, my brother had his friends over. I had my friends over my house. Like, there was probably like 20 of us all watching it around the TV. And some of my friends and my brother's friends are MMA fans, saw these two guys and they're like, oh, this is going to be a sick fight. I was talking about Ngannou Derek Lewis at 226. That was such a boring fight. They didn't throw any punches. Like, everyone expected a first-round knockout. There was so much hype into it. The two biggest knockout artists in heavyweight, two of the biggest guys in heavyweight, two of the scariest guys in heavyweight, are about to throw down. You had Ngannou just losing to Miocic for the title. He obviously had a lot to prove. Derek Lewis, he always has fun fights and always entertaining, like, knockouts. And just to see them not engage, like, Lewis had the bad back. And then the loss to Miocic, like, hurt and got his confidence, and he didn't want to throw. It just kind of ruined that whole, like, 15 minutes was boring. And then even the lead up to DC Stipe, like, even people at my house, like, it's still kind of left. Even when DC Stipe were in the octagon, people were still like, that last fight sucked. Like, I'm not even, like, excited for this fight anymore just because of how bad that last one was. It's fairly recent, but that fight is still one of the worst ones I've ever had to watch.
Yeah, you know, that fight was awful. The great thing about that was I had money in Derek Lewis, so it actually was, like, pretty good for me. I remember, like, please get the win here. It was a horrible fight, though. You know, for me, Cole, again, going back to the early part of the decade, I was in Greece at the time, and in Greece, I think the time difference is 6 or 7 hours, so I was watching this fight at, like, 6 or 7 in the morning, and it was horrible. And I was looking forward to see it because Gray Maynard was coming off a crazy fight with Frankie Edgar, and Clay Guida was one of the most exciting guys in the UFC, and you thought that going head-to-head, Clay Guida and Gray Maynard was going to be a great fight. It was one of the worst fights ever. Such a bad fight. Horrible fight. Don't ever watch that fight. It's a bad one. Really boring. And it was 5 rounds, too. It was a horrible, horrible fight. All right, Cole. What's the last category there?
Fight we never got to see.
That's the one. Okay, go for it.
So my fight we never got to see of the decade, and I think it might happen. You never know. The one guy's come back is John Jones, Anthony Rumble Johnson. They're supposed to fight before. Like, this was the most hyped up fight at light heavy besides Cormier for Jones. Like, Rumble was a guy that's knocking everyone out. We've never seen Jones in trouble. We've never seen him get even tagged. So to have them go up against each other is going to be really interesting. And just to never have it happen just because of Jones' suspensions and him not being in the sport. And then obviously Rumble retiring. And he lost the big fights to Cormier, so he never got that shot when Jones was back. It's disappointing, but to see him come back, he's supposed to come back at heavyweight. Jones might move up to heavyweight, so hopefully we can finally see it in 2020. But that, to me, like, that would have been such a big fight and a mass fight the UFC could have put on in 2010s, and they missed out on it.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. You know, for me, Cole, GSP Anderson Silva, how did we never see this fight? It's crazy. Like, that's the fight everyone wanted to see. GSP and Anderson were the number one and number two pound for pound fighters, really interchangeable at the beginning of the decade. You know, you still talk about best fighters of all time. I mean, GSP is in the top three, I think, and Anderson's still up there, but I think the later part is Chris Hurd's legacy a little bit, all those losses and also the steroid tests and stuff. But, you know, GSP and Anderson was a fight that I wanted to see. I remember I was in Montreal for the fight with Carlos Condit and GSP. And that was a crazy fight, too. You talk about crazy fights. That was up there because Carlos Condit had this head kick knockdown in the third round. Everyone thought GSP was going out, somehow survived it, ended up winning the decision. But Anderson was in the crowd, and they showed him on the big screen, and everyone's like, wow. They're going to make this fight. It never happened, Cole. You know, at this point in time, 2020, I don't think that fight's ever going to happen, unfortunately. But, Cole, that's a fight I really want to see, especially in their prime, Cole. I really had no idea how it's going to go. I think most people would have leaned a little bit towards GSP because of the wrestling, especially after we saw the Chael Sonnen fight. But, man, that's a fight that I really wanted to see, and it's unfortunately never happened. A couple other questions here. Kensuke Rio Doji, worst fight was Ringboy Theodoro versus Derek Brunson, horrible display of crappy MMA skills. Hey, and he got caught after that. So I hope he learned from that fight because it was a horrible fight. And then GSP Khabib's a fight I want to see, and so is Khabib's dad. You know, that fight, I don't think don't be surprised if it happens. You know, I think there's a chance that could happen, Cole. I know it's crazy, a small chance. I could see it happening, like, in the next year, honestly. You know, because I think GSP would come back for that fight, and I think for Khabib, you know, he's only got a few fights left, Cole. He goes and beats Ferguson. You know, maybe the Conor rematch or Gaethje, but there's not many that fights left for him. He wants to be 30-0. He's got 2 fights. Maybe he'll stay for another one, but he will retire early, I think, Khabib. He's made a lot of money, and I think he's a smart guy. He doesn't want to, you know, take damage. That's a lot, Cole. That was a lot. Anything else? I mean, you know, any more thoughts? Like, any other categories we didn't get to?
No, I think there was quite a few. We got quite a few. We're just kind of figuring out from yesterday, just adding categories. I think we got probably all of it that.
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredible decade. Any reflection on the decade, like personally and professionally, like as far as fights go?
Well, just personally, like just to see how far the sport's come. And just like I remember watching it with my dad, like even just like when I was in like elementary school, just watching, like my dad would have like the Fight Network on, they'd be old, like WEC fights and like Cowboy be fighting. I'd be like, oh, this is sick. And my dad was one of those parents, like he didn't care. He let me watch fight when I was like 7, 8 years old. And just like growing up watching that, and then obviously making this my profession, and then having like I watch most events with my brothers, and then that just adds to it, like having my brother there with me, and we share all the moments. Like, it's just to see how far the sport's evolved in 10 years. Like, I don't think, like, if you look at NBA from 2010 to 2020, or NHL and MLB, not much change. But to see MMA from 2010 to 2020, like, there's a massive difference in production and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, it has evolved a lot. You know, I have a lot of thoughts about this personally, but like for me, I finished university in 2010, and at the time, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I had to make a decision. I was like, what am I going to do? Go back to grad school? You know, get a job? Like, what do I want to do? I really didn't know, because I never, when I was growing up, Cole, there was never like a job I wanted to do. I didn't want to be like a firefighter or a policeman or you know, a construction worker or something. I never really had a goal, I guess, as far as like, you know, profession. I went to school and I got my university degree in writing, and I thought, you know, maybe I could do this. I don't know. And I got into that sports journalism program in 2011, and because I had to do something. I know I needed to go back to school for a year and figure it out a little bit. And you know, I remember just that was really when I was getting into MMA at the beginning of the decade, the latter part of last decade. And I was like, I think I could do this for a career. And I remember going to school and I told the guy who was running the program, Malcolm Kelly, I want to write about MMA for a career. And he just laughed at me. He's like, no, you can't do that. Like, no one does that. No one has a career in this. Like, it's not going to work. 10 years later, man, I'm making really good money, dude. And I get to cover MMA, Cole. So, you know, people doubted me. And, you know, there was times I doubted myself, man. I mean, this has been an up and down career. It's been a tough career because, like, man, I've had good opportunities that disappeared, or, you know, opportunities that I wish I had back, or, you know, things that I think should have happened for me that didn't. But, you know, I wouldn't change any of it, Cole. I'm doing well. So I'm happy with the way it's worked out. But I remember, you know, just wanting to do MMA and people just kind of just really doubting me and saying, you can't do that. You know, the only people that really believed me were my family, because they thought, you know, you can do anything you set your mind to. And if you want to do this, do it. You know, but trust me, man, it's been tough. Like, a lot of times my family's like, you're not going to make any money in this, and, you know, do something else. But, you know, they kept encouraging me, you know, just stick with it if you like it. And, you know, it's going well now, Cole. So, you know, for me personally, like, this is something that I love, especially, you know, beginning part of the decade and last decade. You know, I was very, like, just confused about my life, because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And MMA gave me something to aspire to and start something to chase, you know. So, truthfully, I haven't had as much success as I wanted. I saw a lot of my, you know, peers go on to really bigger and better things. And, you know, they're all at the events now covering it every week, and they get to fly around the world. That didn't really happen to me, but I still had some great opportunities. But honestly, like, the people that did take a chance on me, like Nick Kalikas at Fight Odds at MMA Oddsbreaker, Cole. I've been with MMA Oddsbreaker since 2012. And, you know, Nick's been an incredible boss and a really good friend too. So, you know, I'm very thankful, very grateful. You know, MMA Ratings, Michael hired me in 2012. I've been there for 8 years now too, almost. So he's been amazing. And then, of course, BJ Penn, which is going really well. I love the guys there, the team. But, you know, it's been a crazy time, because I remember I was at the Score in 2011, Cole, and I thought when I was at the Score, this is going to be my career. I'm going to work at the Score. And then it got bought out by Sportsnet. They let me go. That was a huge shock. I remember waking up that morning and having my job gone. I was like, wow. They're like, we have to let you go. You got bought out. You got released. I was like, wow, what the hell? They're like, don't come to the office. Don't get your stuff. We're going to send it to you. I was like, wow, what the hell? And then, I went to Sportsnet for a few years. And Sportsnet, they didn't pay me anything, Cole. I did it out of my pocket. I did it out of my own pocket because I love the sport. Me and James never got paid anything. You know, and James can tell you the same thing. We did it because we loved it. And they were really they're just scummy about it, you know, and they kept telling both of us, we'll pay you guys. And we just did it because we loved it. And you know, for James, it really worked out well, because he got to all the events, and now he's, you know, obviously doing really well at the new Score. Not the Score that I used to work for. It's a new Score now. But for me personally, like, I just got tired of, you know, just being, you know, used for my labor. So that sucked. But at the time, it was a good opportunity. And of course, I got to go to some events like, you know, Diaz and GSP Montreal. I went to the sports night. But again, you know, I paid for that stuff, you know. I just got their credentials and the access, but they never gave me anything, Cole. They just, you know, had me write, and I just did it because with the promise of, you know, bigger and better things. It never happened, but now it's finally happening. You know, again, I'm making a living out of this now. So it took a long time, Cole, but you know, it's going really well now, man. And again, it's been a crazy year, crazy decade for me personally. Like, just a lot of stuff in my personal life, and you know, but the one thing that's always been there is MMA. You know, so for me, it's just been. It's been everything, man, because it means a lot to me. The sport just means a lot to me. You know, that's why I got the nickname MMM. That was from college, you know, because they knew I loved it. And it's been good for me. And anyways, Katsura Doju, who's your favorite female fighter? Oh, sorry. Habib versus Tony is a fight that curse will never see the fight. If I was Habib's team, I'd injure my own fighter, keep him away from Tony, and keep that record perfect. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to see that fight, man. I hope so. I'm crossing my fingers. Who's your favorite female fighter, Valentina or Willie Zhang? I don't know. Who's your favorite
out of those two?
I guess. I mean, I favorites. I might be Joanna. I love Joanna, man. But
I like Joanna. Yeah, like out of those two, I'd say Valentina.
Chang versus Valentina. You got? I don't know. Tough one to call. Probably Valentina. Bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know Chang's on the juice. Do you guys think Valentina's on the juice? I have no idea, man. I'm so young. Got a good future in me. Thanks, buddy. I'm 31, so I'm pretty young compared to a lot of the guys doing the sport. You know, MMA allows us to pay room and make money, still doing it legal. We'll enjoy your Friday and Saturday is very true. You know, yeah, but anyways, it's been a crazy decade for me because I don't get to reflect on it a lot, but yeah, it's now it's 2020, so it's pretty nuts. You know, the one thing that, you know, for me, I think that I never realized was like, you know, I would say I'm a really, like, you know, helpful person and someone that's always trying to look out for other people, you know, Cole, and I'm kind of trying to take you under my wing and stuff. And I always thought people were doing the same thing for me, but I think it took me a long time to realize that people, you know, they were kind of selfish and they actually saw me as a threat, not as their friend. And it was one of those things, you keep your friends closer, enemies closer. And a lot of people, you know, pretend to be my friend and they went on to bigger and better things. And I don't need to name names, but there's a lot of guys out there and, you know, they, you know, didn't help me out. And I think they got really big opportunities, you know, that I should have got a long time ago and I never got them. So, you know, I think I've learned from that, Cole, but I won't ever change who I am as a journalist, as a friend. You know, I'm a very genuine person and you know, I keep my friends close and I'm lucky I have, like, you know, good friends like yourself and James and Aaron that have been my friends for a long time. I mean, you were friends, Cole, but, you know, James and Aaron, I've been friends with James since 2012. He remember 2011, actually, he messaged me on Twitter and he was like, hey man, you know, I noticed you work at the Squirm, my fighting hour, we used to be friends. And me and James are still talking 10 years later. So, you know, same with Aaron. Aaron was the first person to hire me. Look at Aaron now. He's doing so good. You know, these are not the guys that are haters. These guys are genuinely friends, but there's other people out there that pretended to be my friends, Cole, and they never were. They just wanted it for themselves, man. So, you know, best advice I can give you, Cole, just, you know, just be careful who you associate yourself with, because, you know, some people seem like they have good intentions, but really they're trying to further themselves, not you. And you'll do well in this business, man. It's a good business. You know, it's a tough business, but if you can excel in this business, you can do well. You know, people say there's no money, and there is money. You got to work your ass off, though. I work 7 days a week. You know, I don't take a day off, and you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. I honestly wouldn't. Anyways, man, anything else you want to talk about, Cole? Anything else?
No, I think that's all.
All right, buddy. Plug your stuff.
Twitter at ColeShot91. Just today, spoke to Clarissa Shields' promoter and talked about the Nunes fight. He says it's the biggest women's sporting event of all time if it happens. Then I also spoke to Gilbert Burns about the Maya fight. Sat's up on BJ Penn. Everything else is on my Twitter.
Awesome, man. All right. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Adam Adam Martin, and then MAOsberger.com. That's obviously the home of the podcast. And I'll hopefully have some writing up starting next week. Cole will hopefully be joining the team very soon as well. We'll get Cole on the website. Also, check me out at bjpenn.com, MA Rings. And, you know, again, since this is a decades podcast, just want to give, you know, some shout outs here for sure to my family for, you know, supporting me even through the ups and downs of this, because MA is kind of crazy, but it's, you know, it's worked out okay. To Nick, I mean, Nick, man. You know, Nick gave me a chance, and, you know, Nick is a really good friend. So, great guy. And, of course, Michael and MMA Rings, another, you know, guy who gave me a chance when I needed it. You know, Scott, Tom, Chris, all the guys at BJ Penn, those guys are important to me. Of course, James, my former podcast host, really good friend still. Aaron, first guy who ever gave me a job in this business, man. Cole, you for doing the podcast with me, man. And, you know, all the readers, man, all the viewers, all the listeners, you know. I'm just a guy who loves the sport, you know, and I'm just very lucky that I'm able to actually make a living out of this somehow. Something that I love to do, and just want to thank all you guys for the support. So I don't want to get too emotional here, but, you know, it's been a very up and down journey, and I've made so many mistakes over the way, and, you know, I've learned from them, but I've made a lot of mistakes. I'm just glad that I'm still here, man. I'm still doing it. So once again, guys, really thank you for everything. Cole, great podcast today, man, as always. And guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow for a Thursday edition of the podcast. And once again, thanks for doing it. I'm not going to cry, man. Don't worry. I'm not going to cry.
It's not that good of a fight.
Yeah, no. I only cry when I watch good fights like Gustafson and Jones, bro. That's what Katsuro Rijoji is saying. Nah, it's all good, man. I'm not going to cry. But I just getting emotional, man. You know, just thinking about, you know, all the years. The years go by so fast. Oh, yeah. You don't realize how fast your life really goes by. 10 years ago, Cole, I was your age, and I was 20 years old, dude. Now I'm 31. It's crazy, right? Or I guess 21 years old. I didn't go 11 years in 10 years. Anyways, thanks, Ben, for joining us. Guys, have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.